Welcome back to Talkin' Trek, where dad and daughter talk Trek. I'm your host, Bridget Kelly.
And I'm your other host, Dad.
What's your name?
What's my name? Oh, man. Okay, what's my name? Joe.
There you go.
Bridget's game.
All right, Dad, let's talk Trek.
Okay, before we go talking Trek, we got to go into the old mailbag.
Oh, yeah?
La, 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 la.
Mail. Well,
no, it wasn't really mail. It was a comment on Facebook.
Oh, we got one?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Okay.
It was, so we have to give a correction already.
Yeah, episode 2, we got a correction.
Oh, yeah, we are. Hey, everybody, hey, journalistic integrity.
If you're here for facts, you've come to the wrong place.
Yes, yes, that's exactly the way I feel. Okay. I made a mistake. I was thinking Rawhide and I said wagon train.
No.
Clint Eastwood actually was in Rawhide,
oh,
which was a TV show about cowpokes poking cows across the wild, wild west. And wagon train was with Ward Bond. Actually, I thought of Ward Bond before I thought of Clint Eastwood, but I didn't think anybody would know who he was.
Yeah, we have some really good listeners, don't we?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, Ward Bond is pretty, like, you know, for people like me, everybody knows him. But, you know, because we watched John Ford Westerns. He was practically, Ward Bond was probably in every stinking John Ford movie ever made. And one of his more famous roles was as the priest in The Quiet Man.
Ah, yes.
Not the young priest, the old priest. Mm-hmm. I can't remember his name, so I won't even try.
Yes, and this is in reference to our last episode. We were talking about Wagon Train. This was Star Trek. The original series was Wagon Train to the Stars. And
that's
so
how,
you were,
yeah, that's how it was. Yeah. That's how it was sold. That's how it was sold. So,
wait.
You know, our comment came from Mark in the Philippines. I know. Yes, actually, yes, it came from Mark in the Philippines. Shout out
wow.
to Mark.
Shout out to international listeners. Hey.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So we got that going for us.
Talkin' Trek is taking off, guys. Well, oh, also.
Yeah, it is, actually.
Wasn't okay, sorry, young person talk here or whatever, but wasn't Clint Eastwood in Paint Your Wagon?
Yes, but Paint Your Wagon wasn't until way after that. That was like, you know, like
maybe that's where the words got mixed up in your brain or something.
Maybe it's something happened and my wagon, I hitched my wagon to a tar. Never mind. No, that's a different Star Trek episode.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, your mom said don't do that and I suddenly did it anyway. So we got that going for us. Mm-hmm. And I want a shout out to some great people that I work with at my day job.
Uh-huh.
Because they joined me in our landing party when our first episode landed on the internet.
Yeah.
And a couple people, Ben and Sue and Sarah, they took part in our landing party and I bribed them with cake.
Yeah.
So, you know, they had cake and, you know, people at work were like going, what the heck's he doing? You know, and that's fine. And, you know, they kept coming by my desk and they'd see this cake and they were going, is it your birthday? And I said, no, it's not my birthday. It's the birth of
my landing party.
It's the birth of my podcast. So there you go. So, but that was cool. And, you know, and I was, you know, work was great about it. They didn't give me any trouble for just messing around for 5 minutes and And so there you go.
Shout out to your place of employment.
Yes, which will remain nameless because we want to stay anonymous on the internet, okay?
Yep.
No trolls. So
hashtag no trolls.
Yeah. So, but other than that, yes, Ben, Sue, and Sarah, last names shall go anonymous. Well, we're great. And, they are, you know, they're good coworkers and I enjoy them. So, that's a shout out to them.
Very cool.
So, hey, are we ready to talk Trek or did you get any mail? No.
No mail for me.
You got a dog. You have a dog.
Yep. I've got Commander Gogo and Lieutenant BB in there. They're making quite trouble. A ruckus.
We can pause if you think that's going to.
No, let's go. Let's continue.
Okay. Commander Gogo and Lieutenant BB just fell silent. Yeah. They're not wearing red shirts, I hope.
Nope. All right. So, episode 2 of Talkin' Trek was The Next Generation, a season 1 episode called Conspiracy.
Conspiracy. There was a conspiracy.
Yeah.
To make a good episode, there was the conspiracy.
Was it fun to revisit this episode, Dan?
Yeah. I've always had some difficulties with this episode, but only because it didn't land the way I thought it could have. But other than that, it was good. There's a couple things about this episode, and we could talk about that later. But and I was reminded of the couple things about this episode.
I originally wanted to do Skin of Evil. Because I hadn't seen that. I don't even know if I'd ever seen that full episode. Cause I think when I was a kid, the black ooze guy that kills Troy or not Troy, I always say that Tasha Yar, like the black ooze guy, like scared me as a kid. So I thought it'd be fun to redo that. But when in the moment I was like, oh, but Conspiracy was so much fun to watch. So I was like, gotta do that one.
Okay. Give us the rundown of All Conspiracy.
Right. Okay. So, we'll see if, by every episode we do this, if I can get faster and faster at these plots.
Use your own pace. We're fine.
So this is the Bridget Kelly way of making a synopsis. So the Enterprise, it's on its way to the planet version of Hawaii or or Palm Springs. You know, the Enterprise crew just needs a little vacay, you know.
Weren't they going for some sort of...
there might have been a conference or something like that.
I thought it was some kind of research or something. They were going to research water.
Well, again, it's just like having a conference in Palm Springs. It's like, we're going to work there. Wink, wink.
Yeah, they were looking for beaches.
Looking for beaches. And Picard gets this phone call in the middle of the night, a code 47, which is a secure top secret phone call.
Since it was a conspiracy, did he get that call from Alex Jones?
It goes right over my head, Dad.
Pop reference.
So it's one of his oldest friends, Walker Keel, and he says, oh, super top secret. We have to meet in person and you can't tell anybody that we're meeting. So they meet on this planet, which I feel like if C-3PO was there, he would say, what a desolate place this is. And, he meets these, his friend Walker and then these two other captains, and they give him like a 20 questions when he shows up. So it's this, it's the super mysterious. They're like, how did we meet? Who's your best friend? You know, they're like asking him all these questions that only Picard would know. And Picard's like, I got an A+ on this test. What do I win? And then that's when they tell them, you know, hey, some stuff is going down in Starfleet. You know, there's people like captains of ships are dying and being replaced or being fired. My first officers are acting crazy. Like they're not acting like themselves. You can't trust anybody. Starfleet is doing some shady stuff. So, and then
Picard's like, Slim Shady.
Yeah. Yep.
The real Slim Shady.
The real Slim Shady is happening here. They're standing up and Picard's like, no. Starfleet would never do anything shady. You're just being crazy. And they're like, well, Picard, you just keep an eye out. And he's like, no shit. Of course I'm going to keep an eye out. So that's basically, that's the episode, basically.
So Picard keeps his eye out. They figure out that there's some kind of craziness going on in Starfleet. Then they zoom to Earth, skip their rendezvous at the planet Pacifica, an ocean world, and meet up with
the heads of Starfleet.
Yeah, like these three guys sitting in a room. I mean, it's hi, you're the heads of Starfleet. You know me.
Which on their way to Earth. To meet up with Starfleet, Walker, the captain he just met up with, their ship explodes. The USS Horatio explodes. So Picard's like, oh, okay, I guess there could be a conspiracy. After we just meet, he dies and his entire ship explodes.
Right. Well, and the thing that, okay, they meet up with Starfleet Command. Uh-huh. It would seem that they spend their entire day sitting at a desk, the three of them.
Just waiting to be contacted.
Waiting to be contacted, making decisions.
Oh, they knew they were coming.
Okay. He says, come on down for dinner. The admiral guy to Picard. And Picard says, okay, fine, I'll come down for dinner. Comes down for dinner. There's like some, you know, crazy stuff going on. All these people are kind of nutty. They're eating crazy bugs. And next thing you know, there's like ant creatures crawling around on the ground. And there's a guy that was from an earlier episode who's kind of a pain in the butt. He turned out to be like this, you know, mother creature that, you know, was an alien inside, but he was on the outside. He was human. Their solution was shoot him. That was their solution. That's pretty much it. End of episode.
That was the literal 2 minute synopsis.
That was a literal 2 minute synopsis.
There you go. Watch the episode, I guess.
Watching the episode would be good. You know, watch it. We're selling it. We're selling it here. Okay.
Yeah.
But when you watch it, you know, watch it for these salient points. Okay. First off, I thought this was like, could have been a 2-episode thing. I think they set up this really creepy thing and there's like, you know, all of this stuff going on behind the scenes. And then they wrapped it up in the last 10 minutes of the show. It's like, boom, 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 you know? And I thought that was a little quick, understandably. Sure.
I mean, like how Data is, you know, goes through all these files to find out, oh, hey, you know, if anything in Starfleet has been weird. You know, and he goes through all these files and he's like, yeah, a bunch of weird stuff has been happening. So, yeah, it'd be nice if we actually saw more seed. Like, we did see a seed of it a few episodes ago. But if we saw more seeds of all of the stuff that's been happening, of these people fired and killed.
That'd be
nice.
And it seems back in the 80s, kickboxing was really big.
Did you see Riker's kick? Oh my God.
What is that? Dancer? Is he a dancer? What's the deal there?
Yeah, when Riker fights Admiral Quinn, who, spoilers, is taken over by one of these purple bugs. Yeah, that dude's leg, he kicks him in the chin and it's like his legs do a complete 180.
I know. He was like, whoa. I don't know if it wasn't a stunt double or was it Frakes. I have no clue.
Yeah, I mean, they cut it in a way that you don't actually see Frakes. You know what I mean? Like, they show Frakes' face and then they show his legs. So you don't actually.
Not that I don't think that Frakes could do that. I'm
right.
Sure. He was a young guy. he was a young guy, very athletic. You know, mm-hmm. I know I couldn't do it. I'm, you know, so there's no stinking way I could, like, I can't kick a can down the road, but. I thought that was a little kind of, I hadn't. You know, see, in the original series, it wasn't kickboxing, it was karate.
Uh-huh.
So everybody had a karate chop into the back of the head, except for Spock, who had the nerve pinch thing. But but it was always karate chops and judo, like throwing somebody over your shoulder kind of stuff. So, but, you know, we evolved into the 80s. And now everybody's, it was the 80s, wasn't it? It's like, when was this? 87 or something like that.
Yeah.
And
again, if you're looking for facts, don't come here.
Okay. The other thing, though, I mean, you know, if you think about it, you know, this was the genesis of the MME. You know, the
Riker
Riker. He was, you know, he was ahead of the curve.
Wow.
And now we have mixed martial arts.
Uh huh.
Because. All the mixed martial arts fighters of today grew up watching Riker kick people in the face. So,
wow, you're right. You know,
it's a cultural phenomenon.
Man,
so I like
cheers,
it.
Cheers to Commander Riker.
Mr. Commander Riker.
We should explain that, these purple... They don't have a name. It's just parasite, right? These purple bug centipede
bug creatures,
pincher things. They go in your mouth and then connect themselves to your brain, and then they control you. And so that's how they've been controlling Starfleet. And the only way that you know that this person's being controlled by these bugs is because, like, they have no memory. So you could be, that's why he asked Picard all those questions.
And they have a little thing sticking out of their neck.
They've got like a little tail sticking out of your neck so that they can breathe, apparently, I guess.
What kind of, like I said, it was quick. And the other thing that kind of bugged me was...
That bugged you?
Yes, they bugged me. The bug bugged me. But at the end of the show, they, you know, put out this ominous thing. Well, you know, they sent out a beacon.
I know. Which, when I first saw the episode, I loved that.
And they could be back.
It's such it is like a really cool episode. Like, that's how the end it. Cause then all you do, they just show you the stars and you just hear that beep, 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 beep.
Yeah, exactly. But the thing about it is they were never back.
Well, not only that, but if by killing the mother alien killed all of the bugs in like Quinn and other people, then wouldn't that have also killed the rest of everybody else? So who are they sending a homing beacon to?
Somebody sent a homing beacon out to, you know, it must have been.
So if they sent a homing beacon out, it didn't really go to anybody if they all die without the mother. So,
well, I don't know. That may have been a local phenomenon.
Maybe just all the ones in that quadrant of the galaxy died.
That could very well be it. I kind of thought, oh, wait a minute. Maybe this whole storyline kind of petered out. Uh-huh. A new set of writers might have come in. Who knows? Whatever it was, they never revisited these critters again.
Well,
so
did you read on Memory Alpha about kind of the arguments about writing this episode?
No, what did they say?
So shout out to Memory Alpha. But apparently, like, the writer that wrote this wanted to, you know, wanted to have a military coup, like wanted to show a, you know, a coup, that a conspiracy that would happen in real life or whatever, that has happened in so many governments. And basically Roddenberry was, no, like, Starfleet, that can't happen. Like, Starfleet is this perfect thing. Like, you can't F it up. And so they, so that's why they were like, we'll put these bug creatures in. That's what, so it's not the Starfleet is corruptible. It's these bugs infiltrated Starfleet.
Well, and that was, but that was a time-honored science fiction thing. I mean, I'm stating the obvious here, but, you know, Invasion of the Body Snatchers, you know, is the perfect example of that.
Well, that was the only way that they could, like, you know, agree on, or that's the only way the episode could get made, basically.
Right, was to right. Well, yeah, but so, I mean, back in the 50s, there was a lot of movies that people were being taken over by aliens and walking among us. It was kind of all that whole Red Scare thing in the 50s. You didn't know who was a communist and who wasn't, because they didn't look different from you or me. And so in order to dramatize that, they used aliens taking over people, you know, invaders from Mars, Invasion of the Body Snatchers, Pod People, EGA, all these movies. So, it's good stuff. It's an old story, but still works.
Sure. Well, even when I first saw the purple bugs, I started to think, I'm like, wait, is that the same bug that was in Wrath of Khan?
No.
It's not.
It was not.
They're very similar, though. Well, although those bugs, like, they sort of control you or whatever.
Yeah, they did control you. That's true.
But they, like, leaked out ears.
Yeah, they didn't go into your mouth. They came out your ear.
Which, another thing I looked into when I was trying to figure out if they were the same creature or not, was apparently Roddenberry was, like, hated that in Wrath of Khan that Kirk, like, when it leaks, when the bug comes out of Chekhov's ear, Kirk just steps on it. And Roddenberry was like, that's an alien that you don't know anything about. Kirk wouldn't step on him. Kirk, you know, like, that's Star Trek. Like, you would box him up and study him or something. So I feel
Spock
like
wasn't
that's.
There.
But, no, box.
No, I said Spock wasn't there. Spock
to,
was
like,
the one
stop
that,
him. Yeah, Spock wasn't there to be like, we should learn.
Wait a minute. We got to put this guy in a jar.
That is so true. Well, so because when I first saw Conspiracy, I thought it was weird that they're just watching this purple bug crawl across the ground and crawl up Remick's leg, and they're not, like, trying to kill it. They're just like, hold on, let's just see what'll happen.
They're going like, hey, Remick, watch out, there's a bug crawling up your leg.
They were, but, like, they had plenty of time to shoot at it before it even got to Remick, is what I'm saying. But I feel like that was like Roddenberry being like, hold on, they would wait and make sure that they had to shoot. And even after they explode the whole alien, which was pretty cool, they...
Yeah, exploding heads?
Yeah, that was crazy.
What's that all about?
It was fun. I didn't know phasers.
They exploded that guy all over the place.
I mean
that
if
was
you phaser a face, I don't know. It might explode. Yeah.
I don't know.
Let's do some phaser research.
I don't know. I'm not sanguine about that.
But even after that happens, Picard is like, I'm so sorry that we had to,
blow that guy up,
you know, since we respect life so much, but that's what we had to do.
We had to blow him up. He blowed up real good too, for that matter.
Yeah.
My. One thing I noticed, and that's just because I noticed this.
Uh-huh.
You notice how the uniforms evolved.
Yeah.
Because we were, Mom and I watched, what movie was it? Insurrection.
Mm-hmm.
The other night, after we watched this episode.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, wow, look at what happened to the uniforms between the first season and one of the last movies that Picard was in, and it was really interesting how the uniforms like evolved. And what kind of struck me was I had forgotten in the first season that a lot of the lady officers walked around in miniskirts, just like the original 60s. Series. Yeah, just like the 60s. And that didn't last much very long after the first season. I think somebody said, hey, miniskirts are out. Let's move on to something else. And the onesies that everybody was wearing, I don't know, would you call it a onesie or would you call it a jumpsuit, maybe? A jumpsuit.
I know. I like onesie.
Yeah. Well, I was like looking at those going like, wow, it's Picard's signature pulling down his jacket thing.
Oh.
Isn't there anymore with the onesie, because he didn't have to because it was stretched so far over his belly. He didn't.
Yeah, he didn't do that in the first season, did he?
He didn't do that because his jacket didn't ride up every time he sat down.
Yeah.
So he didn't have to pull down on his jacket. So I kind of noticed that. Yeah, I don't often go back to the first season.
Mm-hmm.
So there was, those things were kind of, popping out as like, wow, that's weird. I didn't notice that. But
hey,
there is that. I'm looking at my notes now.
I was very surprised about first season Next Generation that it was only the first season that Riker didn't have his beard. Like, he gets his beard in season two. I thought there was at least two seasons where he was sans beard. There was also
he shaved his beard off in Insurrection too, by the way.
Right. Yeah, I remember that. Smooth as a baby's bottom. A Data. Yeah.
Well, Android's bottom, I think, is what.
Oh, Android's bottom. That's the joke. These are the jokes. But yeah, and also that Yar died in season one. Spoilers.
Well, she did because she wanted out of her contract, I guess.
Yeah, it's so interesting that she like wasn't willing to give the whole first season a shot. She's just like, no, I can already tell. I don't want to be here. I'm out.
This is going south real quick.
Yeah. Right?
This show is going nowhere and the franchise is dead.
Which I was like, man, she must have regretted that decision. Well, but then I saw that her IMDb page is so long. So I'm like, she did fine.
She had plenty of work. I don't see.
She had plenty of work, and she came back a few times because she probably was like, oh, you guys are having a good time.
You're still doing this show.
Still doing this show.
Is it on Thursday nights? Well, there's that too. So.
He had a lot of problems.
What's up with Worf's sash?
What about it?
Well, it was like, it was kind of cheap back then.
It
looked a little bit like, grandma's draperies from the 60s or something. I mean, it had that, kind of metallic thing going for it. I mean,
he also has that short... He has that short hair, that little bob that he has.
Yeah. Well, he was well coiffed. That's for sure. He didn't turn into the crazy Klingon that he became later on. So, but characters evolve, and we get that, and we're not saying anything bad about a cultural icon that is Star Trek. So there you go. Tasha Yar, she wasn't in this episode. This was actually the first episode without Tasha Yar,
the second episode.
Are you sure?
Second or third? Yeah, because we'll always have Paris was before this one, and that one she wasn't in it.
Oh, really? Okay, because I thought it. Oh, I'm thinking of, I went back one episode on Netflix. Maybe Netflix has it a little messed up. I'm not quite sure.
I think there was something about they flipped a couple of the episodes around, or something like that. Because later they were like, no, it makes more sense to have Skin of Evil here, But I think they originally might have been. I don't know. We'll research it, folks, and we'll get back to you.
We will research it. Wink, wink. Nod, nod.
Sure.
So actually, yeah, and she did. She showed up in an episode after she died.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think they ended up having to like switch them around.
Because she was in the background of a shot.
Yeah.
In an episode after she died. Yeah. And supposedly, what I read somewhere in the internet world was that she kind of looked over and waved at the camera to say, hey, I'm still here. Remember me? I died two episodes ago.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I think Netflix like switches them back around or something like that. Because yeah, I heard that too.
Yeah, so it's kind of weird. So you know, so there was that. What else? Oh, you know, so in the process of research, you know, I do a lot of research on these podcasts.
I spent maybe
15, 20 minutes looking around on the internet trying to find interesting things to talk about.
Uh-huh.
And you know, and I'm sitting there looking at the Enterprise I don't remember ever seeing NCC-1701-D on the outside of this Enterprise. I'll have to look at it several times again, but every shot in this particular episode, I don't remember ever actually seeing the words, you know, USS Enterprise,
okay,
which was on the other ships, NCC-1701. So I was like, I've always wondered, NCC, what the heck is NCC? What's that all about? And so I started like researching that bit. Uh-huh. And because I always thought that they picked that NCC because it sounded a little bit like NGC, you know, National Goose Council or something. NGC is New General Catalog of Nebula. So when you catalog gaseous nebulas in the heavens, they're given an NGC number, okay, and it means New General Catalog. And I always thought that maybe they picked NCC-1701 because it sounded a little bit like the other, mm-hmm, enough to confuse. And it also sounds, you know, in that respect, it sounds kind of outer spacey.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked up, I gave it a GTS. I Googled that stuff. And what does NCC mean? And I came up with some really startling things. It means the National Chicken Council.
So, oh, that has to be it.
That has to be it.
That has to be it.
National Chicken Council 1701. Yes, that's got to be it. But if we're going back to like, you know, the pedias out there, the various pedias that are available, mm-hmm, Star Trekopedia, Wikipedia,
the Memory Alpha,
Wicca Star Trekopedia, you know, fandom, all of those. One of them said that Roddenberry said it was like the ships in the Navy, because he said that the Starfleet was a naval arm of the service. It was, uh-huh, it was kind of like the Navy, only in outer space. And NCC means, now somebody's going to say I'm wrong, you know, yeah, we'll find the mailbag next week.
All right. Sure. Yeah.
Context, but this source said it was means Naval Construction Contract Number 1701.
That doesn't sound like fun.
It does. No, it's not fun. It's not fun. I like National Chicken Council much better.
Yeah,
I think that's like, you know, it makes
Kirk wouldn't write no chicken vessel.
Chickens fly. And so does starships. So, you know, I'm thinking that might be.
Do you have any more? What else was there?
Other things that I found in my research.
Were there any other NCC things?
No, not. Well, there was a lot. Yeah, there was a lot, but.
No children under 17.
I don't know. But the other things that I kind of like looked up, because it's just good to have these things in our bag of tricks. We're going to have a party on March 22nd, because that is, coincidentally, that is both Uncle Bill Shatner, I call him Bill, because I love Bill him, because I love him so much. He'll probably get mad because I don't call him William, but I feel so close to the guy.
I bet he goes by Bill.
I don't know if he does or not. His friends may call him Bill.
I bet his friends call him
I'm
Bill.
I'm calling him Uncle Bill. Uncle Bill is going to be 86 or 87 this March. He's getting up there.
He's got a movie coming out.
Oh, he was.
Or a show or something.
He was in the news the other day.
Uh-huh.
I just Googled him. I GTS that one too. It seems there was some crazy person wandering around his house and looking in his windows.
It was not me, I swear.
It wasn't me. I don't live in Southern California. It wasn't me.
It wasn't me.
I'm guessing it was.
Oh, I did, however. So I sent you those pictures because I thought the first.
Are we inviting? We're inviting Bill Shatner, right?
Yeah.
On the show.
Of course. We'll see. We'll see what he says. No, but we.
Oh, I would be such a fanboy.
You wouldn't be able to get through it.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm interrupting. Go ahead.
It's okay. It's the last episode we shared our pictures of Vasquez Rocks where the Gorn fight was.
Yes, we did.
So I was thinking, I was like, oh, for this episode, I will go to conspiracy locations and take pictures. And then I was like, oh, wait, no, that entire thing was done on set.
On a set. Yeah.
The whole thing was done on a set. And so even the, you know, the outskirts of Starfleet was, you know, a picture that was painted, you know, was a backdrop. Exactly. But I shot a commercial on the Paramount lot. I've been on the Paramount lot quite a few times. So that's why I sent you that picture of Paramount, because I was like, well, somewhere in that lot.
Is a room where the stage and three
the sound
chairs.
Stage where the Admiral Station was.
And there's a mess that they haven't cleaned up since 1987. So, well, that is kind of cool. That is cool. Okay, I'll post that as an addendum to. Well, no, I can't. I'd have to post it separately. I'll figure that out on the old website there.
Yeah, you can put that on the thing.
First contact day.
Oh, yeah.
Is coming up. We may have to celebrate that in some special way.
Maybe we should.
Is April 5th.
Wait, why don't our listeners tell us if you want us to talk about the movie Star Trek First Contact for our April 5th?
We might. That's always a possibility. Da-da-da-da-da. Oh, Star Trek Day. International Star Trek Day.
When's that?
That isn't until September
8th. Okay.
So we'll be looking forward to that in the fall or late summer. I guess that's late summer, is it not? Mm-hmm. What else? I've been through that. Oh, I always thought at the last shot of this episode, the Enterprise is going across the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And in the background is a purpley red nebula.
Uh-huh.
And I always looked at that and I looked at, you know, that looks like the California nebula. There is such a nebula. GTS. Google that stuff. Okay. It's vaguely, they're vaguely similar, but in no way the same. So I think I can pretty much solve that mystery right there. It was a made up nebula and not a real one. So that's Star Trek mysteries. Star Trek mysteries revealed right here.
Come on. 90% of the time, I bet they're just like, oh, paint a little thing there. That'll make it look cool. Rather than,
You know what? So if they were leaving Starfleet and Earth, they would have been going back to Pacifica. So therefore, they would, you know, like they don't, they're not doing all that. Sorry.
They should. Everybody knows. Everybody knows where Vulcan is. I think.
Nope.
So, I don't know. I guess I'm not a Trekkie.
I don't know where Vulcan is.
It's somewhere out there. There was actually a planet called Vulcan, or they thought there was a planet called Vulcan. And that's where they got that name.
Oh, right.
Because
well, that's not where Vulcans live. I mean, like where our Star Trek Vulcans live.
No,
I
they
guess
don't
I don't
live,
know. We've never been there.
On an uninhabited rock that's on the inside the orbit of Mercury.
Right. But yeah.
At one point in time, an astronomer thought he saw a planet inside the orbit of Mercury, closer to the sun. That is.
Mm-hmm.
And he called it Vulcan. And for a long time, there was in the scientific community, there were, you know, the Vulcans and the anti-Vulcans, because there were people that believed Vulcan was there and believed the data. And there were people that didn't believe the data. And it took a while for that scientific controversy to be put to rest.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to be able to say I knew where Vulcan was, but it's not there anymore.
So, you know, so instead of doing a what would Picard do segment,
okay, what would Kirk do?
What would Kirk do, Dad? What do you think?
What would Kirk do? I think Kirk would have done the same thing Picard did. Show up at Starfleet headquarters, phasers on stun.
I was going to say, wouldn't Kirk have figured out a way to bring a phaser? He would not have gone down there without a phaser.
No, yeah, he would have had a phaser. He certainly would have had a phaser, and he would have gone down there, you know, blasting his way in and blasting his way out. But or
he would have
talked Remick into blowing up his own head.
Yeah,
he would have like talked to Remick so hard and so long that Remick's head would have exploded.
No, as soon as he saw Remick, he would have punched him in the face.
Well, he would have done that too. You know, there would have been punching. There would have been a head exploding and lots of talking him out of being a bad person. Mm-hmm. So I'm just guessing we've already done that. Just guessing that's kind of the way that would. What do you think Kirk would have done?
Yes, I agree.
So we have a consensus.
A
consensus. All right.
I have a quote for the wall of quotes.
The wall of quotes?
Yeah.
Do we have a wall of quotes?
We have a wall of quotes.
We have a
episode one
is it
was
new? Is it a new wall or an old wall?
Episode one was You Bet Your Pointed Ears.
Okay.
Okay. So
we're vaguely racist, by the way.
Right. So this quote, my favorite quote from this episode was from Worf saying, when talking about Pacifica, he said, swimming is too much like bathing.
That's true. I'll have to remember this wall of quotes things. Maybe I need to make a note on the subject.
Yeah. If we could put Data's laugh on the wall of quotes.
Yeah, there is that. Yeah.
Which can I play that? Do you think you'll hear it if I play it?
No, you don't have to play it.
We should put it in post. Because that Data trying to laugh is the creepiest thing.
It was definitely a high point for that episode. But the other thing that I was wondering is where what are we going to do for our next? Are we done? No, we're not done.
All we have left to do is raise a glass.
That's right. I forgot. It's buried deep in my notes.
Mm-hmm.
But I will have to pull a page. Hold on. I've got the guy.
You got the guy. I've got the guy.
I got the guy. No, I've got the guy.
No, I've got the guy.
Come on. I got the guy.
All right. See if it's the same guy.
He wasn't in this episode.
Well, then we can't do it.
Yeah. Well, what? Captain Horatio Hornblower? Was he the guy that you were pulling? Because he had a red shirt and he blowed up real good.
Okay. Okay, our dedication of the episode is to the fallen red shirt, but there were a ton of red shirts that fell in this.
Well,
so
yeah,
it doesn't qualify. It doesn't qualify for this.
It doesn't qualify.
But I have somebody. No, I have somebody.
You have somebody?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I will save mine for the next episode.
Yeah, no, this was in the episode of Conspiracy.
Oh, because I thought. Oh, because
it wasn't. Because it wasn't a red shirt.
Well, it was. Then it has to be a red shirt.
No, it's the same thing.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
It
I'm
is.
Looking. I'm looking right now. Red shirt on a Star Trek website. A Star Trek website. It says right here. It says list of red shirt deaths in the original series.
But this isn't the original series. It's the Next Generation.
It doesn't matter. My point is that they list, you know, like people with gold shirts. No, that's not a red shirt. You know, he's not a red shirt. He's not. You know.
Well, I want to dedicate this episode to uncredited Starfleet security officer.
Oh, no.
That's the other picture I sent you. Is like the guy in the yellow uniform that just gets, like, he doesn't have a line or anything, but he gets shot at and dies. He just gets killed. You don't meet him. You don't know his name. Nothing.
He just walks on stage and dies.
He literally walks on stage and dies.
So. Man. Okay. Well, yeah, I will accept that only because you're my daughter. Okay. There you go. Technically not a red shirt. Technically not a red shirt. That was delicious.
All right, Dad, what episode are we doing next?
Vaporized by Gorn weapon. Oh, the other night when I was watching Star Trek episodes, I kind of like fell into another one from season one of the original series.
Cool.
Only because I had a friend. We always said to each other, "Here for the festival? Got a place to sleep it off yet?"
Okay.
We would say that to each other. Well, we'd go out for a beer and we'd say, "Oh, here for the festival, are you?" and that will become clear when you watch.
When I watch the episode.
Hang on. Season one, episode 21.
Okay.
Which first broadcast, according to the internet, which you, can you believe the internet? February 9th of 1967. The episode is called Return of the Archons. Yes. Return of the Archons.
Okay.
The opening scenes feature
a festival.
George Takei, you know, in one of his most famous roles. So actually,
cool.
I think it's his only big famous role. We love George. We love you, George. We do. We really do, actually.
All right. Well,
George,
cool. Well, I'm excited for that then.
So yeah, Return of the Archons. You're gonna have to listen to terrible music.
Ooh.
And watch awful fight scenes. So it'll be good. It'll be good.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
And festival, which is always fun. Everybody loves festival. Cool. So
cool. Well, I want to give a shout out myself.
You do.
Post episode shout out to my friend Nick Westermeyer.
You used the last name.
Yeah, I did. It's okay. It's okay. So his name's on the website, so it's fine. If you like a dad and daughter talking about Star Trek, you might enjoy two dads talking about parenthood. My friend Nick has a podcast called Two Dumb Dads.
Two Dumb Dads.
You should check it out. Dad, do you have parenting? Do you have like a parenting advice for my friends?
A parenting advice. Spend a lot of time with your daughter.
There you go.
And make sure she grows up to actually like you later on in life. Because
maybe you'll do a podcast together.
Maybe. Otherwise, it could get very lonely in your 60s. I'm just saying.
So, there you go. I think that's great advice.
That is good advice. You know, spend time. Spending time. You know, There's that. So, what do you think?
Yeah. So, what do you say, Dad? Should we end this thing?
Make it so.